tongue will confess. The name that is given among men by which we must be saved. God, the name that draws us close to you. The name that demonstrates your great love and power. The name that is our hope and our peace. The name that transcends every other name. God, we praise you for revealing that name to us. May we honor you with our lives. May we honor you with our devotion. May we honor you with our praise. May we honor you with our submitting of our lives to you. For you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We bow down to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful time of worship. It's not over, though. We're still worshiping as we submit to the Word of God. It's time we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church. So I invite you guys to head back in that direction. Those of us that are left, if you'll take your Bible and find the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew. Still kind of building off the last series that we did out of 1 Peter, talking about how do we live a life in the midst of suffering and trouble that honors God. How do we live as the children of God in a world that is not just opposed to us, but can be violently opposed to us, that can cause us great trouble, great distress, great anxiety, and even great pain? How do we live in the face of that kind of culture, in that type of world? Well, as I was thinking about and going through and just God has not let me leave this topic yet, just simply I think because of all the mess going around in the world today and all the struggles and the hardship and just the ungodliness that we face in the world today. And the beginning of the pushback against Christians and the Christian way of thinking and honoring God in all aspects of our life. How do we live that way? Well, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is telling a series of parables, and he's reminding the disciples and reminding those who are following him and listening that there is a distinct difference between a child of God, a person of the kingdom, and those that are outside. And he begins to tell some parables to help describe what it means to be a child of God and the difference between God's children and good people. And there's a lot of good people in the world. There's a lot of people do a lot of good things. There's a lot of people going to bust hell wide open. And so there's a distinction, there's a difference between the children of God, those who are in the kingdom, and those who are outside the kingdom. Doesn't matter what their behavior is. Doesn't matter how good they try to be or how much good they try to do in the world. It's what have you done with Jesus? And so as I begin to prepare and to think about what to share today, God led me to this parable. But we got to get a little bit of context before we jump into this parable. There's a series of parables here as Jesus is describing what the kingdom of God is like. And if you go just before this parable that we're going to look at today, you see the parable of the sower and the seeds, where he talks about the four different types of seeds as the sower goes and he broadcasts the seed, and some falls on the rocky path and it's eaten up by the birds immediately. Some falls on rocky ground where there's not much soil and they sprout up real quickly, but yet because of a lack of depth of root and because of a lack of devotion or a lack of nutrients, they die off quickly. Then you had those that fell among the thorns that sprouted up, but the thorns eventually choked them out and they produced no fruit. And then you had the last group was the seed that fell on good ground. And these grew up and matured and all produced fruit, some 100-fold, some 50, and some 30. So he's describing, look, the Word of God is being spread. And there's all kinds of people that hear it. Some reject it outright. Some hear it and like the idea, but there's no depth, and they get excited for a little while, and then they fall away, and there's no fruit. produced. Then you got those that it says that they hear the word of God and they like it, they're excited about it, but the cares of the world and the stresses of finances and money and the stresses of the day choke it out, and they abandon the word of God and they produce no fruit. And there's one group of people that produces fruit. So in this parable, you've got one group that are saved. So the salvation, the proof of salvation, is the fruit that's born in the life of a believer. Said you can believe, you can like the word of God, you can even have a religious experience with the word of God, but until you submit to the word of God and it produces a transformed life, it produces fruit in your life, there is no salvation. Now, is it my job to decide who's saved and who's not saved? No, thank goodness, that's God's job. But introspectively, we've got to see, okay, because there's a lot of people, he says in Matthew 7, verses 21 and 22, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter into the kingdom. And so we've got to introspectively see, okay, in my life, what ground is my heart? Is the Word of God producing fruit in my life? Am I showing a devotion, a dependence, a love for God? Is it producing fruit in my life? Well, the very next parable he tells is the parable of the fruit and the tares, the wheat and the tares. And this is where I want us to kind of settle in today. Because we, the children of God, live in a land, a culture that there's a lot of good people and a lot of good things happen, a lot of good deeds are done. But how do we respond to, and how do we live, what is our responsibility to the tares? This is a parable of the wheat and the tares. And we're gonna dissect a little bit, we're gonna talk a little bit about it. But what I want us to think about, okay, in this kingdom, in this world of believers and non-believers, how do I respond to the non-believers? What is my response, and what is my responsibility? Okay? Because I think it's very important for us as Christians, especially in the environment, the culture we live in today, the political environment, the social environment, all the things that are happening around the world. How do I respond to unbelievers as a Christian? And what is my responsibility to unbelievers as a Christian? And I think if we will understand that, that will transform our behavior as believers. It will help us understand, how do I deal with, how do I respond to, what is my responsibility to those that if you go to the extreme, that are rioting, that are Marxists, that are socialists, that are anti-God and anti-anything about God, or what is my responsibility and my response to those that are just good people? They're not all for rioting and violence, but they're not for God either. And just, you know, I'm all right. I'm not that bad. I'm not like all these rioters out here and everything. What is our responsibility, and what is our response to the tares? Okay? That's where we're going today. So if you will, stand with me as we begin in verse 24 of Matthew chapter 13. Remember, this is right after the four types of ground, the ones that produce fruit. Is the definition of those that are saved. So he says, verse 24, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were asleep, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. And the slaves of the landowner came to him and said, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'The enemy has done this.' The slave said to him, 'Do you want us to go and to gather them up?' But he said, 'No. For while you're gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow them both to grow together until the harvest. And the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, God, beginning with me, and help me rightly divide your word, and help me, God, speak through me to speak the truth of your word, and help us understand how we are to respond and our responsibility to the tares. And our response and our responsibility to you. God, what should we do as children of God? What should we be focused on in this time of upheaval in our country? Because God, our desire is to glorify you. Our desire is to increase your kingdom. Our desire is to live lives that matter for eternity. So God, help us know how to do that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So again, you know what a parable is. A parable is where Jesus takes average and ordinary things to make a spiritual point. And to teach a spiritual truth. And so he uses the experience of the people. This is an agrarian culture at the time. People raised their own crops. They knew about planting wheat. They knew about planting gardens. They knew about weeds. They knew about the problems and the struggles of having a good crop. And so Jesus used these examples. The one right before it was an agricultural example. Man went out and sowed some seeds. Well, here again, he's using this same thing that they can identify with. All of them have sown some seeds. All of them have dealt with gardens. All of them have dealt with weeds in the garden. And so he says there was a guy who owned some land, and he sent his servants out to sow some seed. And they sowed some seed, and when he came back in and went to sleep that night, an enemy came. Someone who didn't like the landowner, someone who wanted him to not prosper, someone who was against him, not just somebody that was indifferent, but an enemy. And so the enemy came in and he sowed these tares, these bad seed, and they began to grow up. And the response of the slaves were, when they noticed it, what do you want us to do about these tares? Okay, what's our response to the growing up of the weeds, and what is our responsibility to these weeds? What's our responsibility to taking care of the garden? And he said, should we pull them up? Landowner says, no, don't pull them up, because when you pull those up, you may damage some of the wheat and it won't produce fruit. You'll harm the crop that we want. So just leave them alone, and when harvest time comes, when all the fruit is full and the wheat is produced all it's going to produce, it doesn't need the root base anymore. It doesn't need to flourish anymore. It's already done everything it's going to do. Then I'll send the reapers in, and they'll first pull up all the weeds. They'll get rid of the weeds first, bind them up, take them over here and burn them in a fire. Then they'll gather the wheat. Doesn't matter if their roots are bothered then, because it's all taken care of. They've produced all they're going to produce. And as he's told this, you know, the people around were listening, and they're kind of scratching their head. What's this got to do with the Messiah? You know, the disciples were struggling with the same thing. What are you talking about, Jesus? Why are you telling these parables instead of just being blatant and out front? What do you mean by the tares and the wheat? What has gardening got to do with the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus explains it. If you'll drop down to verse 36. That's a beautiful thing about God. He doesn't leave us to figure things out on our own. He's going to lead us to understanding. It says, then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came in to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, the gospel. He's sowing the gospel into the world. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. The tares, these are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. Okay, so go through. Think about he went through every character, everything, every person that was identified in this parable. He identifies later on. Said, the one who sows the good seed, that's the Son of God. The good seed is the gospel, the word of God, the love of God, the call to repentance. It says the field is the world. So God is sharing the gospel in the world. Jesus is calling men to repentance, and those who are the good seed are the children, are the sons of the kingdom, the Christians, the ones who surrender their heart and their life to God. The tares or the bad seed are those who don't believe. Devil's the one that sows the seed, the bad seed. Now, what I want us to think about and what God was demonstrating here is, and if you look at the top of the parable, when they're side by side in the growing stage, you've got the wheat and the tares, but you can't tell the difference. From the outside, they look the same. That's the crazy thing about weeds. A lot of times they look just like what you're wanting to grow. And you can't really tell what they are until they get some maturity on them. And so the servants were there, and they were noticing as the wheat started to head out, started to produce fruit, the tares just kept looking like grass. And the grass was taking up the nutrients of the wheat. They were taking away from the wheat, and they were making it hard for the wheat to grow. And so the slaves came and asked the landlord, "Do you want us to tear out? Do you want us to pull up the weeds? Do you want us to get rid of these imposters, these unfruitful people, these undesirable tares?" Now, unfortunately, oftentimes that's our response to unbelievers. We're trying to honor God, we're trying to follow God, and we're trying to produce fruit for God. And you got other people that have heard the gospel, but yet they have rejected God's word. They're trying to be good people, but they're not producing fruit. They're still sinners. They still have rejected the authority of God and His Christ. And we think, as oftentimes as Christians, our responsibility is to get rid of them, to put them in their place, to stomp them down, to make sure that they don't flourish. The disciples had this same question at another time. Jesus and His disciples were walking along, and it says that there were some others who were casting out demons and prophesying, but yet they weren't of the disciples. They weren't followers of Christ, but yet they were doing good things. It says, "Do you want us to go over and stop them?" We tried to stop them. Jesus said, "No, leave them alone. Leave them alone." Then they came to a village that didn't believe. They came, they preached the gospel, and they rejected Jesus. They rejected the disciples and run them out of town. And the disciples said, "Jesus, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and wipe this village out? They're no better than Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them?" Jesus said, "Oh, you don't understand the heart of God. God's desire is not to destroy, but to reach with the gospel, to give an opportunity for repentance." And so the response of the slaves were, "Okay, Master, do you want us to go and to pull up, to uproot, to get rid of these fakes, to get rid of these phonies, to get rid of these unproductive people for the kingdom? Do you want us to get rid of these who don't have the ability to produce fruit because they don't have the Spirit of God in them? They're not children of God." He said, "No, just leave them alone." So what's our response to people in the world that reject the gospel? As we're sharing the gospel, as we're living the gospel, they're even in opposition to the gospel. They're even trying to stop the gospel, to prevent us from being as fruitful as God wants us to be and we're capable of being. They're in absolute direct opposition to the Word of God, the kingdom of God, and the people of God. What is our response to them? Leave them alone. It's not our responsibility to shut them up. It's not our responsibility to beat them down. It's not our responsibility to make them look bad. It's not our responsibility to get rid of them. It's not our responsibility to change this world government. I know that's not popular. Absolutely, as Christians, we need to vote the Christian character, Christian heart, Christian ideals. But our goal is not to change the way the government runs. This government is established by sinful men. It's given the authority by God, but it's abused by sinful people. And God didn't call us to change governments. God didn't call us to beat down those that don't believe in Him, those that are pursuing ungodly lives. God didn't say we're supposed to shut them up, put them in a box, get rid of them, kill them. He didn't tell us to do any of that. He said our response to them is not anger, hatred, and removal. So what is our response? Well, let's look at a couple of passages at how Jesus says we're supposed to live in the world. If you will, turn to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. What's our response? And what's our responsibility? Matthew 28, 19, this is right before Jesus is ascended into heaven. He gives His disciples their marching orders and what they're supposed to do. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So what's our response to those who don't believe the gospel? The love of Jesus. It's not to tear them up. It's not to get rid of them. It's not to put them in their place. It's not to tear up the tares. Our responsibility is for us to live as wheat. Now, what's the only difference between the wheat and the tares? The ability to produce fruit. Now, what gives us the ability to produce fruit? It's the Holy Spirit. The only reason that I'm not a tare is because of the grace of God and the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. And so I'm able to produce fruit. So what's my responsibility to the tares? Produce fruit. My responsibility to the tares is to produce fruit. Now what is the fruit of this Holy Spirit? Galatians 5. For the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What's our response to tares? Then we're to produce fruit. We're to let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our lives when in relationship to the tares. We should be such a demonstrative difference between Christians and non-Christians. But too oftentimes we resort to the tactics of the non-Christians to try and shut them up, beat them down, put them in their place, destroy them, when what we're supposed to be doing is we're supposed to be producing fruit. The landowner didn't say, "Well, okay, go out here and arm the wheat. Don't go out here and make the wheat more aggressive and make." No, he said, "You just leave them alone. Let the wheat produce wheat. Let the tares do what tares do." And whose responsibility is it to separate the two? God's. I've got a lot of Christian brothers and sisters, and I'm not saying that we're supposed to just defense of ourselves. We're not to sit quietly and not share the gospel. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to share the Word of God and to live out the Word of God and to sit passively and be run over and beat up and even killed. That's not what I'm saying. But our response is not to be aggressively trying to destroy the world. Because why? Those are our target group. Our response to the hatred, the violence, and the mess of this world shouldn't be more hatred, violence, and mess. It should be the gospel. Because our goal, our responsibility, is to see tares saved. The Holy Spirit can come in, transform their heart and their mind, and they can begin producing the fruit of righteousness. Our responsibility to the tares is to live out the gospel. Our responsibility to the tares to demonstrate the presence of God in our lives and let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in us. A stark contrast between the way we live and the way that they live. Between the way we respond to hatred and violence and the way they respond. It should be radically different. The only thing that separates us from the tares is the ability to produce fruit. And our responsibility is to produce fruit. Our responsibility is to live out the Word of God, to submit to the Word of God, to endure hardship, to endure suffering, to endure the pushback of culture in such a way that demonstrates the presence of God in our lives. Our job is not to make this government and this nation follow after God. We can't vote enough people into the government to change it. Now, we need to vote, and we need to have vote with a Christian conference, but that's not our goal. Our goal is to see our neighbors saved. Our goal is to see our co-workers saved. Our goal is to see our family saved. And the only way we can do that is produce fruit in our lives and share the gospel and give room for the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. God's the only one that can change them, not us. And we're trying to change things that's not our responsibility to change. So Christians are getting frustrated. They're getting angry. They're getting hateful. They're getting mean. All you got to do is look at social media. Why are we getting so frustrated? Because we're taking up causes. We're taking up responsibilities that are not ours. Read the book. It's going to get worse. I don't care who you vote for. It's going to get worse. I don't care which party is in charge. So us trying to change the government, us trying to force all the political leaders to live out Christian ethics and responsibilities, we can't do that. But what I can do as a Christian, as a child of God, I can let the Holy Spirit produce fruit in my life, and everyone I come in contact can experience the presence of God, the love of God, the gospel of God, the hope of God, the power of God in my life. That's my responsibility and response to the tares. Church, absolutely. We need to prayerfully consider who we're going to vote, how we're going to vote. Absolutely. But our ultimate goal is not to make this government Christian. It will not happen. God never called us to do that. Old Testament, all that was written for a theocracy called Israel. We're not in a theocracy. We are in a democratic republic. And unfortunately, most of the world is not saved. So we're not called to make a theocracy out of the United States. Your responsibility is about your vote, and honoring God with it. But our responsibility to the world is to bear fruit, to let them see the radical difference. And then it's God's responsibility at the end to separate the wheat and the tares, not us. He's the one that judges, not us. He's the one that defends His kingdom, not us. Our job is to bear fruit. Find with me 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, we're looking at the question, answering the question, what is our response to the tares and what is our responsibility to the tares? We're in this world together. We're side by side. We're in the same household. We're in the same job. We're in the same family. We're together with the tares. What's our response and our responsibility to those who don't follow Christ? Verse 7, beginning, let's start in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Our response to the tares and our responsibility to the tares is to be a new creature. We're to be readily seen, readily identified as different from the world. When the servants walked out into the field, when it was time for harvest, or it was starting to fruit out and it wasn't quite ready for harvest yet, they could pick out the tares immediately from the wheat. There was such a distinct difference between the wheat and the tares. Because the wheat were producing fruit, the tares was just a big blade of grass standing out there looking good. Church, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. There should be a radical difference in our behavior, our attitude, our response, our way of living from those that don't know Christ. It should be just as obvious as wheat and tares, because the wheat's got fruit and the tares got nothing. It says we're a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, we have become new. All things have become new. Verse 18, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So our responsibility is to be different. Our response is to be different. Our responsibility is the ministry of reconciliation. Our goal isn't to tear them up. Our goal isn't to beat them up. Our goal isn't to shut them up. Our goal is to see them saved. It says, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Now all things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us this word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. Now look at how He does it, how we're supposed to do it. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our response and our responsibility is to see them saved. Our response and our responsibility is to grow and manifest fruit in our life. Our response and responsibility is to beg them to be saved. Whole different attitude than most Christians have on social media today. I don't see many people pleading with the lost for salvation. I see people trying to put them in their place. God's heart is for forgiveness. God's desire for the tares is to be transformed, to be this new creature, to be miraculously transformed into wheat to produce fruit so that other tares can be saved. That's our responsibility and our response to the world we live in. Now, absolutely, I hate the things that are going on in the world. Absolutely, I hate the godlessness. I hate the fact that evil is being called good and good is being called evil. I hate that. It breaks my heart. But my response must be that I've got to be sure that I'm producing fruit as a Christian, being distinctly different from them in every way. My response to them is to beg them to be saved, because there's coming a day when judgment's going to happen and the angels, the reapers are going to come and they're going to reap. Read Revelation chapter 14. They're going to gather up all those who've rejected Christ, and they're going to be bound up and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus says, I think it's in Matthew chapter 25, is going to be cast into a place that wasn't created for humanity. It's created for the devil and his angels. But because they have sided with the devil and they've rejected God's grace and God's hope of salvation, the only means of salvation, they've rejected it outright. God says, you belong with the devil. I'm not going to force you to be anywhere you don't want to be in my presence. So they're sent to a place that wasn't created for them. So we, as the people of God, the wheat in the field of God, the people that God has placed in this world at this time, in these circumstances, for the purpose of sharing the gospel and begging people to be saved. Please remember, it is not your responsibility to put lost people in their place, to beat them up and to make them look bad, make them feel bad. It's your job to live radically different and share the hope of Jesus and what they do in between them and God. But that's your response. That's your responsibility according to the Word of God. So the question, Christian, in your life, is the Holy Spirit producing fruit. Are people seeing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control? So what do the tares do? What does the Bible say that you should expect from the tares? Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Because right before he tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is, he tells us what the fruit of the flesh is. Galatians 5 verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities or hatred, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and the things like these. Everything you see in the world today, everything that you see on the news today, everything that's happening in the riots and all the stuff that's going on, all the craziness of the world is doing exactly what sinners do. Tares are being tares. And the only hope of impacting it is the gospel. And the only hope of the gospel being impactive is you and I living radically different. Instead of immorality, talking about sexual immorality, impurity, doing things that you know aren't right, sensuality, living for pleasure, idolatry, putting everything else before God, sorcery. He's talking about drugs and addiction, enmities, being always angry with people, strife, fighting, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, arguing back and forth over stuff that don't matter, dissensions, factions, or heresies, envying, class warfare. That's what this is all about now. It's us against the 1%. It's us against so-and-so. It's the workers against the owners. They're creating an air of envy, a life of envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. That's not how we're supposed to live. Instead, we're supposed to bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That should characterize our lives. Stark contrast between the two ways of living. Christian, are we letting the fruit of God develop and be on display in our lives, in your social media, in your friends and relationships, in your marriage, at work, in the hostilities of this world, in the pushback from culture? Are you letting the fruit of the Spirit be evident in your life? Or are we responding like the world responds? Church, in this world, there are going to be wheat and there are going to be tares. And the only way that the world's going to see the difference, the only way that anybody's going to know the difference, is the fruit that we produce. And the only hope is the gospel. And our responsibility and our response to the wickedness and the hatred and the mess of this world is to make sure I'm producing fruit by submitting to the Holy Spirit, and I am begging people to be saved, sharing the gospel. If you're here today and you know you're saved, today is the day where you check your own heart and your own life, and you step back and you look from the outside in. What am I producing? What are people seeing in me? Not what I want them to see or I think they're seeing. What are they seeing? How am I responding? And am I fulfilling my responsibility of sharing the gospel? You're here and you've never accepted Christ. You're just trying to be a good person. Not good enough. You're still a tare because you don't have the Holy Spirit. There's no way you can be reconciled to God outside of surrendering your heart to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be as good as you want to be. You can do all the good in the world you want to do. But your sin contaminates it all. You've got to deal with your sin first. I pray, I beg you, in the name of Jesus, be reconciled to Christ. Let's stand.